This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush. Presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
All right, hour three. Welcome, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Special guest joining us now, Liz Steble joining us. Liz, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, John.
I will get started here by telling you first off that I am an entrepreneur, have been self-employed since I was about 22 years of age, so I believe heavily in what we're going to talk about, because I like seeing people be successful, and I feel like one of the best ways to do that is to own your own.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not that easy, you know.
It is not that easy. And it takes people like you to help people out. You've got a new book, Succeeding as a Solopreneur. In other words, Six Keys to Taking the Leap, Winning Clients, and Building Wealth. So get us started. I always ask this. Why the book? Why'd you start there?
Well, I've been coaching people through my educational organization called Professional Independent Consultants of America. It's an educational organization and community that teaches people how to set up and launch their own business. And I've been doing that for about 8 years. And after leading workshops and boot camps and webinars, and I've written probably 80 blogs, I realized that I probably could put this all together in a book and reach a lot more people.
Okay. Good job, by the way. I would agree with you. What do you feel are some of the biggest obstacles folks face when they, you know, are thinking, hey, I want to be in business for myself? And I've helped some folks along those lines like you, but what do you feel are some of their biggest roadblocks?
The biggest one is what I call FUD, which is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I have actually nicknamed it the FUD monster.
Okay.
Because I imagine this little creature on my shoulder, or on anybody's shoulder, that whispers in their ear that you can't do this. You don't know how to start a business. You don't know how to write proposals. You don't know how to quote work. You don't know how to write a contract. You know, all those questions, and it's like imposter syndrome. Who are you to think you can do this?
Correct.
I think that's the number one thing holding people back is
themselves.
Is FUD, and they don't know how to get started.
Yeah. No. And by the way, I agree with you. I've coached some people through, you know, from the ground up, and fortunately, I've had a few people that have asked before ever starting, so they don't make some of the drastic mistakes even folks like I made. I mean, they get some help on the front side so that they don't have big fails, which, by the way, is huge huge on their part to actually do so. But I do see that. I see even folks, Liz, that have been in business for a number of years, they themselves will still have that factor you just talked about a moment ago.
Yeah, no, I've been self-employed for 20 years, and I still get the FUD monster in my ear once.
Well, Liz, people like us, I always tell people that, you know, you and I are 90 days from bankruptcy at any given time. That's why we do what we do.
Exactly.
That's how it works. I mean, and I laugh at that, but, you know, literally, that's how it works. And I realize that anybody out there can lose their job. Doesn't matter where they're at. There's no such thing as security. You and I are probably more secure than most because we set out to do what we want to do. And what I just said, by the way, for me, is what's hard to get others convinced of.
Yes, it is. But, you know, there's some statistic, it's in my book, and I'm sorry I can't quote it off the top of my head. But
it's all right.
There's something like 57% of Americans would like to run or start their own business, but obviously not that many people do.
What? And I should have asked this, too, to begin with. I mean, I think that the name kind of says it, but a solopreneur versus an entrepreneur, what's the difference?
Yeah, so it's a pretty new term, probably really only now coming into mainstream. But obviously, solo means by yourself, right?
Right.
So these are people who aren't interested in having employees or growing their side hustle into a into a, like a boutique agency or a full blown company with employees. And a lot of times people do start as a side hustle and then they make the leap to full time. Mm-hmm. It's usually knowledge workers. So if you think of people like financial planners, mm-hmm. executive coaches, independent consultants, those are the types of people who are solopreneurs.
Makes sense. And again, the name kind of says it all. But again, those people, even with their vast array of knowledge and experience and so on, can still have that FUD you talked about, the fear, the uncertainty, the doubt. They have it as well, even though they're maybe very successful in what they do.
Absolutely. But a lot of us don't know how to start a business and like, where do you even begin? And that's what the book is about. The six keys take you through it pretty much in order, right? You start by taking the leap, preparing to take the leap, and then you take the leap, and then how do you win the clients, and then how do you build wealth? And a lot about that is how to pay less tax, too.
Thank you. It's what I help a lot of my clients with is that last part, by the way, because a lot of folks know how to do really well with a client. They know how to make money, Liz. They don't have any issues there. Their P&L looks great. You know, their bottom line is fabulous. But at the end of the day, you look at how much they're actually paying in taxes. And while they think they've got a great accountant, and by the way, they might, I've always said it this way, there's a difference between an accountant and a tax planner.
Absolutely. And there's actually a whole chapter in the book that says, save for retirement to lower your taxes. When you have your own business, as you probably know, there are lots of things you can do to lower your effective tax rate.
Correct.
I managed to get mine down to single digits.
Nice. Nice. Good job. And again, that's not for everybody listening, that's not an easy thing to do, especially as you get more and more successful, you get further down the road and more things start coming your way, Liz, that becomes harder and harder. But, you know, and by the way, that's where I think at times having either that tax planning accountant slash partner or even a coach that's a partner that understands this, there is great value. And I mean, I tell my clients constantly, Liz, I pay my own way just with what I save them in taxes on an annual basis.
That's probably true. I believe in this so strongly. But the way to take advantage of those tax savings is to get paid on a business-to-business basis, otherwise known as a 1099 basis, not as a temporary worker on a W-2.
Correct.
I've actually trademarked the phrase, friends don't let friends W-2.
Ah, love it. Love it. Friends don't let friends W-2. That is awesome, Liz. Great job. I love it. I have that exact same feeling, and I also know, and please, everybody listening, understand this. Liz, I also know that not everybody is cut out to be a preneur, whether it's solo or entre. I understand that not everybody can do that, but I do, like you, feel like there's a lot more people out there that could if they had the knowledge and how to do it.
Absolutely. But you're right. No, it's the hardest job you'll ever have.
Yep.
You have to push your boundaries and learn new things.
What do you feel that once people get rolling, and you know, some of this I know depends upon the people and the type of product they may be selling and what they're doing, but what do you think are some of the, or what do you see as some of the largest mistakes, even people that get started rolling, they've been successful, they've been at it for several years where they know they've finally gotten over that hurdle, you know, they're not one of the statistics that fail within the first 3 years, they finally made it. What are some of the mistakes you still see them making?
One is, of course, they don't do the proper tax planning, but we already talked about
right.
that. The other is that they fail to keep their network warm and continue to expand their network to find new clients.
Okay. I agree with that.
It's great to get referrals, but at some point you tap out on those. You have to keep planting new seeds.
Yeah, and now this is a little different because people that have employees, this is a little different because you're talking about a solopreneur, and I know that I'm with entrepreneurs especially. The other thing I think some of them do, at least what I have found, is they get this good set of employees, they got this nice base, things are rolling along, and they sort of get a little sort of lackadaisical in where that next employee might come from because they're like, hey, I've got all the team members I need right now, I don't need anybody. I try to teach people, Liz, that you're always looking for your next hire no matter where that is.
Yes. For sure. And if it's not your next hire, it's your next client or your next collaborate with, refer work back and forth to. It's critical to success.
Going back to the initial, somebody's decided they're going to, you know, take that leap. They're going to get going. On that end of things, what's their biggest mistake you see them making? You see that far more than I do. I typically am involved with folks that have already done this. They need somebody to help them maybe get to the next level. I kind of get involved then. I have helped start some from scratch, but typically I'm into it after they've already done it for a while. What do you see the mistakes that some make initially that are just starting out?
Probably is a lot of people think that they should go to market or present themselves as being able to do a lot of things. And sort of like the jack of all trades myth, when the exact opposite is true. You need to have a clearly defined niche and be an expert at whatever it is you're going to service you're going to be providing. Because if you put yourself in your potential client's shoes, they're looking to hire an expert. They right. don't want to hire a jack of all trades.
Correct. Correct. No, I call it keeping the main thing the main thing.
Yes, that's the easier way of saying it.
Because so many can get off on these tangents to where the main thing gets diluted and they're no longer even doing what they set out to do in the first place.
Right. And then they their reputation gets all muddled and it's hard for them to be remembered and then they don't get as many referrals and it's a downward spiral.
All right. Where do folks buy the book? If there's people out there listening that, you know, hey, I've thought about this. I want to read up on this. I still am sure that this would work for me, but I do want to at least find some, you know, you've got resources. I want to read these resources and find out what to do next. How do they get a hold of this?
The easiest way would be to go to the book's landing page, which is sixkeys.info.
Okay.
Not .com because I couldn't afford that one, but okay. sixkeys.info, and then you can buy the book from there, either a signed copy from me or a copy from Amazon, bookshop.org or whatever.
Okay. So, and is it the number six or do you spell out six?
Thanks for asking, but either one will get you there.
Awesome. All right. I appreciate that very much. And I'm getting text messages in, Liz, talking about how spot on you are. I appreciate you joining us. You are, as you can tell, in great company. Anytime you've got something new you want to chat about or come back on, you know, we speak the same language. You're welcome anytime, Liz.
Well, thank you very much, John. It's been a pleasure.
I enjoy it very much. Thank you, Liz. I appreciate it. And she will teach you how to be a not only a solopreneur, but probably an entrepreneur as well. And I'll take a cheap, shameless plug right now. If you're somebody that's already got going on your business, you're in it, you want to get to that next level, you don't know what to do to get to the next level, frankly, that's what I help folks with. And I've got over a dozen clients I help when I'm not doing the radio show. I do that in the mornings and on the weekends and help people really get to that next level. I've helped some businesses get started from scratch. And knock on wood, I haven't had a failure. And I take great pride in that because I want to see my people be successful and learn the things that Liz was just talking about a moment ago. And I will help people do that. And you can reach out to me directly if that's something you're interested in. And I always do the first meeting for free. I'll just tell you exactly how things work and even give you some hints and ideas of what you're doing now. They would make your business even better. Speaking of good businesses, K&R Home Transitions. And I love these ladies immensely, and I mean that sincerely. I've known them now for over a year plus. They've been a part of what we do here on Rush to Reason. That's K&R Home Transitions, Catherine and Robin. And they both have been extremely helpful, not only with our show, but with those of you listening. Some of you have used their services, and they are great when it comes to the real estate end of things. And what I mean by that is you're getting two realtors for the price of one. Typically, you get one. And I'll be real honest, and this is not a knock against realtors, but typically you get one that sort of half pays attention to what's going on. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. In this case, you get two realtors that are paying attention to everything that you're doing and leading you along that entire path and along the way, making sure that everything is done correctly. You maximize your value in your home now or in the home that you're buying. Either way, they'll do either side, the sell side or the buy side. KLZradio.com is how you find them, 720-437-8210. And don't forget Roof Savers of Colorado, which if you're going to sell your home, you need a roof inspection prior to sale so you can give that to the person looking at your home so they know everything is done, spot on, handled, and Dave Hart from Roof Savers of Colorado can do that for you. 303-710-6916.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
All right, Level Engineering is next. Alan Davis, find out how Alan, or what Alan, I should say, can do for you. He is your guy when it comes to solar. Give him a call today. Find him at klzradio.com.
Alan Davis with Level Engineering knows that the power company is not your friend, that they don't have your best interests at heart. Aside from getting your power back on during an outage, they do three ugly things. First, they install a smart meter on your home to charge you surge fees up to 300% during peak times. Next, they use some of your money to lobby public utility commissions to increase your bill. The power company tries to squeeze money out of you everywhere they can, but Alan Davis has the answer for you. Solar power will allow you to produce your own energy and get the power company out of your wallet. Call Alan Davis of Level Engineering to rid you and your family of the greedy power company and take a major step towards energy independence. You just need to reach out to Alan by going to klzradio.com/solar for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Hi, this is Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wanted to remind you about the class I'm conducting March 9th at Colorado Christian University. It will be in the Leprino Building, number 104. March 9th is a Saturday. It's from 9:30 till slightly after 11. And the title of the class is The New Reality in Retirement. It's full of good information about how planning for our retirement is different than what our parents and grandparents had to do. If you'd like to attend, call my office at 303-744-1128.
You just bought a gorgeous new electric vehicle, but you're not sure how you're going to charge it at home. There are handyman electricians offering to install it for cheap, but Genesis 1-3 Electric is licensed and certified, and they know the best practices to do it right, without the risks. Genesis 1-3 will also come and inspect your home prior to your EV purchase to make sure that you have the infrastructure to handle it. They'll check your wiring, panel, and all parts of your electrical system to make sure you're ready to charge your vehicle the right way. Genesis has been around for over a decade, and they were some of the first electricians to dive into EV charging, getting tech certified to learn the details. KLZ listeners will enjoy $150 off of an EV charger installation when you call and mention KLZ at 883-236-6797 to get the best install available. Call Genesis at 883-236-6797.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for listening today. I appreciate it very much. Been a fast show today, by the way, but I appreciate it very much. News headline I saw before the show, didn't even stick this in my notes. I just happened to see it as I was browsing a few things right before we went on air. I've talked about this topic in the past pretty in depth, but Colorado lawmakers are beginning to work on the construction defect laws that we have in Colorado in an effort to jumpstart condo development. Now, I don't know exactly what all they have in play, but for those of you that maybe don't know, maybe you're new to our area and you wonder, why can't I buy a condo in Colorado, a new condo especially? In a nutshell, it's because we have a construction defect law that allows for class actions, very easily put together class action lawsuits against a builder of a condominium complex when some of those items may not even be, justified in having a class action lawsuit. So let's say, for example, you've got, it only takes about three neighbors, where maybe there's some small item that's gone on in each one of those condos. Could be an electrical switch that doesn't work, or a ceiling fan that's out of whack, or a bathroom fan that maybe isn't quite right. Maybe there's been a problem with that particular model the builder used, and each one of these three are having a problem. They can literally go get an attorney and fire off a class action lawsuit whereby everybody now in that complex is involved, even though it's just the two or three that got it started, and the builder's on the hook for whatever becomes of that lawsuit. No protection for them whatsoever. In fact, our laws make it really easy to do what I just said. And it's why builders, because of the risk involved, won't build condos. They will build apartments that look like condos. They'll find an investor that will actually go in and do the rental of those apartments for 10, 15 years. Then, when that time frame is gone, turn them into condominiums and sell them off one at a time, because by then the construction defect laws have gone away. They don't have any risk there at that point. So is this something that's good to get rid of or change the construction defect laws we have? Absolutely. If you want condominiums built again in Colorado that people can actually go live in and have some quote unquote alternative housing, you know, some cheaper housing than what we have elsewhere, this is a great way to do it. We don't have them because of attorneys, by the way, lobbying and getting this construction defect law put into place years ago, decades ago, by the way, now. I've been talking about this on my show for 10 plus years now, literally since I've been on air. We've been talking about this. It's why you don't see condos in our area, new ones for sale. Would this be an answer to some of what we have in the quote unquote housing crisis? Absolutely. Just like having extra ADUs, additional dwelling units would help. Both of those are hard to do in Colorado, almost impossible in some cases. This is something that, again, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again. So I don't know who's actually putting this through. I didn't get a chance to read through all of this to find out who's behind the bill, what they're looking at doing, how it's going to change, and so on. But I'm here to tell you, it needs changed. It is a disaster the way it is right now, and it's why developers and builders will not come in and build condominiums in Colorado, because there's just too much risk for them in doing so. So when I looked at this, I'm like, yep, I'll read more about this. I'll come back to you guys on this, by the way, after I do some more research and find out exactly what they're trying to change. But yes, we need that either done away with or reformed to where developers and builders are enticed again to come in and actually build new condominiums. Hi-Fi Plumbing. Speaking of building and all of that, yes, there's times you need a plumber. Hi-Fi is that, by the way. $100 off right now your next service. It's 877-WE-HI-FIVE.
Your holidays may have brought all sorts of unwanted gunk to your home plumbing, and Hi-Five can help fix it fast. Your guests are gone and you're smelling new smells from your drains or seeing sinks and showers drain slowly. It's time to call the professionals. Finding where the problem is can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with Hi-Five's cutting-edge tools and resources, they'll have those drains flowing again in no time. Hi-Five can take video of your main line and use the highest quality tools like digital augers and jetters to clear clogs so that you can get back to your day hassle-free. Mainline cleaning is dependent on your main access being cleared of furniture or appliances and is ultra affordable. Tell Hi-Five you heard about it on Rush to Reason and you'll get $100 off the service. Get started today at klzradio.com/plumbing.
All right, you heard me talk about Dave Hart earlier when I talked about K&R, and yes, he wants to take care of your roof, your needs, commercial, residential. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even matter what type of roof it is. He can do it all. Dave Hart, Roof Savers of Colorado, 303-710-6916.
With hail season behind us now and snow season fast approaching, we here at Roof Savers Colorado want to help ensure that your roof can brave whatever elements this season ushers in. With over 20-plus years of roofing experience, we pride ourselves in helping homeowners evaluate the best option for their situation. If you're looking to get more life out of your current roof, we offer a 100% plant-based rejuvenation treatment that gives new roof performance without all the new roof costs. However, in the event a replacement is necessary, we will also work with any insurance company to get a damaged roof the replacement it needs. Do not let your home fall victim to the ever-changing Colorado climate. Be proactive and set up your free inspection to receive an honest evaluation of the condition of your roof. Call today at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916. Or go to roofsaversco.com to keep your roof ready for wherever Colorado throws its way.
All right, Resident Auto Brokers, they've got two locations now to not only take care of your vehicle, but sell you a new used vehicle as well. One in Fort Collins, 1101 North College Avenue, and in Boulder at 55th and 63rd in Arapahoe. There's actually two locations in Boulder, one where they do the repair, one where they sell the car, but very, very close to each other. So, bottom line, whatever you need in either part of the state, whether it's up in Fort Collins or down in this north part of Denver, they've got you covered. RidgelineAutoBrokers.com.
Are you in the market for a reliable car that won't break the bank? Do you need high-quality auto repair? Then look no further. Ridgeline Auto Broker specializes in quality used cars that cost between $15,000 and $25,000, making them a great option for first-time drivers or anyone looking for a good deal. At Ridgeline, we pride ourselves on providing a transparent and hassle-free car buying experience. That's why we never charge any dealer fees. Plus, all of our vehicles are inspected by our team of ASE-certified technicians. You can trust that the car you're buying is in excellent condition. And remember, we can also service your vehicle after the sale. At Ridgeline, we offer competitive financing options for vehicle purchase or for vehicle repairs. Ridgeline now has two locations, one in Boulder, and now a second location in Fort Collins, located at 1101 North College Avenue. Both locations offer full-service auto repair and a host of off-road accessories. Check out all our services at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com. Ridgeline, the smart way to buy or service your car.
As independent brokers, GIA Insurance does not work for any insurance company. They can shop the market and find you the best premium for the coverage that you need. Call 303-423-0162, extension 100, or go online to e-gia.com.
Now, back to Rush to Reason, presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Sunny Kutcher joining us now. We did a little flip-flop around today. Normally, Sunny's on at 4:30, but we had some changes. So, Sunny, thank you for accommodating us today. I appreciate it very much.
Of course. My pleasure. Great to be back.
All right, so New York City. Not that most people from Colorado go there, but some do, and we always hear about what's going on in New York City, but their crime, you may not want to go right now, maybe is my point. The crime's not great.
The crime's not great, and we can see that it is having severe consequences. I thought this was really interesting for a couple of reasons. So essentially, liberal policies. We can see that this has major consequences.
Yep.
Governor Hochul is sending members of the National Guard and state troopers. They're saying about 1,000 total, which, you know, that number I would think might go up. And I'll give my reasons for thinking why. They will be checking bags at subway entrances and patrolling the subways, because I've also seen that subway arrests are up 45%, according to the NYPD transit chief, Michael Kemper. And also people are, you know, just jumping the turnstiles and not paying for the subway. You know, except for all the law-abiding citizens, of course.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's like, you know, anarchy or lawlessness in the subway. Am I thinking correctly?
Correct. And okay. It's like, you know, you go down there to get to work or to go to an appointment, and, you know, you pay with your life, essentially.
Wow.
I mean, there's been so many instances and really horrible situations that have transpired in the subway system. And the reason I find this so amazing is because, you know, you will see people say, well, this is good. You know, this is, people are, they're checking bags. They want to be safe. Well, the original problem is that they're bringing all these people who are complete criminals and have
right.
no problem breaking the law in a country that they don't have any respect for.
Correct.
And these liberal policies are now leading to, you know, Governor Hochul having to make this decision. Now, I find it really interesting because liberals also want to abolish the police, but now that it's convenient for them to have the police patrolling in the subway, they're all more than happy to do that in the name of making people feel safer. Well, why don't you just not, you know, have hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants flooding New York City? And the reason I believe that they want this, well, of course, we know this is all by design, especially
right.
the illegal immigration, is because this, having the police presence in the subway, I believe normalizes the idea of a police state, of having a totalitarian, authoritative
can't argue that.
Body in and around the city, in and around everywhere you go. You see them all the time, and we already know that, you know, the police body is being, you know, infiltrated with the DEI and all of those things. So it's very convenient, I think, that an authoritative, because, you know, socialists and communists, they want to, you know, quote, abolish the police, but it's because they want to replace it with, you know, a union that would put restrictions or parameters on what the police are able to do. And I think that this is the liberal and the left's way of being able to manipulate the authority of the police to do what they want.
I can't disagree. One of the things that has always bugged me, and I'm sorry if you're an individual that disagrees with me on this, but we're just going to have to disagree, is, Sonny, I have a real issue with local police departments, municipalities, counties, sheriff departments even, where they end up with these tactical vehicles much like what you'd find in the military. In other words, they end up with military-type weapons, if you would, and I struggle with that. To me, that is not the proper role of government. It's not the proper role of a local police department, any way, shape, or form. And I know a lot of police departments have these. They get these things at auction. In some cases, they're donated from one branch of government to another. And to your point, what I think is happening, and I never thought about what you just said a moment ago, but it goes along with my thoughts on the more people get used to seeing those sorts of things. And these cities, you know, I don't think they intend, make sure I use the right words here. They will parade these things around, and I don't think even the folks that are in charge of the police department really think of it in the way that I'm saying, but they're normalizing the fact that there's military vehicles inside of their own city limits, and they're making it to where it's not a big deal, much like what you're talking about with New York City and the police force on subways.
Right, and I mean, this is really, you know, foreshadowing what so many of these countries experienced when they went through, you know, a socialist transformation, just seeing that police presence and really creating this divide where it riles up people, especially the youth, because they're forcing this police presence into, you know, the neighborhoods, into the cities, and it's because of the policies and the decisions that they've already made, and that's right. Why it is, I mean, you can't see anything else but to see the design of it all, because they want to create this uprising, this upheaval, and a need for the revolution. They need to instill this rage and this, you know, agitation. Yep. They need to agitate the population in order to fight against police, really, ultimately, to then be say, you know, well, let's just fight the police. That's why you've seen so many of these riots in a lot of these cities over time.
No, I think everything you're saying is spot on. And it's, you know, you guys, Young Americans Against Socialism, that's the reason you're on, is to bring awareness to these sorts of things and let folks know, of all ages, by the way, not just young people, but of all ages, of what's going on. And I really hadn't thought of the angle. I mean, I thought of the angle of, okay, they've let all these, you know, immigrants come in, even other lawlessness. They've released people. They've lowered bail, all sorts of different things they've done to release criminals back to the street. Now they're going to spend money on all these individuals, overtime, et cetera, to have them out. But they're doing it because there's, quote unquote, now an excuse to do so because of the ramifications of what I just said. But in the end, yeah, I agree with you. All they're doing is normalizing that presence.
Absolutely. And I think
in other words, it's not about fighting crime, Sonny. I think you know where I'm going. It's not about fighting crime. It's about normalizing what they're doing.
Right. Right. And I always found this, you know, kind of a conundrum. Well, why is the left saying abolish the police, but then they actually instill more ways to control the population? And this is obviously an example of that, by putting police into the subways to check bags and make sure people are following the rules and stuff. It's like, okay, well, that seems a little contradictory. But I think it's because in this circumstance, they're using the idea of the police to basically create that totalitarian, you know, energy in the New York City subway system to show, you know, we're watching you, basically. And then, I mean, of course, it's good that people would be following the rules. But I mean, when I was living in New York City, we never, you know, they had random subway checks. I remember going down. Police checks occasionally.
Yep.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, the few times I've visited, it's been numerous years since I've been, probably 10 years since I've been there. But yeah, when I was there visiting, and you know, we've been there several different times, yeah, there, you'd see some folks kind of random here, this. I mean, nothing like what you're talking about right now. And I've got people texting in, by the way, that agree fully with what you're talking about, Sonny, that yes, this is a normalization of a quote-unquote police state. And the other thing that bugs me, and somebody texted in this as well, so also when police officers, you know, wear all of the camo gear like they're in the military, again, it's the militarization and really the turning into a police state, and exactly what you're talking about is what's happening. And yeah, at some point, you know, not some point, we have to put a stop to that now. Not at some point, but now.
And, you know, they're trying to create a solution for the problem that they also created.
Exactly.
Because of the illegal immigration.
Yep, that's right. Okay.
You know, so they're saying, oh, I want to make the subway more safe, but it's like, well, maybe just don't have all these illegal immigrants running around the city, you know, or maybe actually enforce the laws that were already there.
There's a novel idea.
Right. Paying for the subway, which is just something that you understand as a concept when you decide to take the subway system. Yep.
You sent me another video, which, by the way, is disturbing. I have a hard time watching. Not your fault, by the way. I just have a hard time watching these sorts of videos because it's defenseless. And that's a bunch of black youth attacking a young white kid in school. They were given 2 days suspension, and they're literally beating this kid to a pulp. I mean, again, I have a hard time watching this because I'm not there. There's no way to defend what's going on. And it's just, frankly, a load of crap.
I agree. I mean, I didn't watch the video either because it just makes me sick. And, you know, I think the racial aspect of this is just, it breaks my heart because really this is happening all over with all kinds of people. And, you know, things just really stoke the fire. And when I see these types of things, it really just saddens me because I know, you know, things like this can get taken way out of control. But the moral of the story here is that we need to help our young people. I mean, our young people are just suffering severely and to the point where they are really carrying out such violent criminal acts. Right. And on top of that, are not being penalized. I mean, I just don't understand a world where these kids, you know, any type of kids beat up another student and there is no consequence for that, or very minimal consequence.
Well, in this case, I mean, you talk about 2 day suspension. Sonny, you said it just right a second ago. There's no consequences. I mean, I'm sorry, 2 day suspension for beating up another kid in school. You should be expelled and not be allowed back on school grounds ever, period. Done deal.
Right. And I mean, let alone like being charged for a crime, you know, obviously as a juvenile, but it's just really sad, and this is ultimately a cry for help. I mean, these kids just have no moral guidance. They have no ethical understanding of what it means to be a law-abiding, you know, responsible citizen, and that's why we are doing what we're doing at Young Americans Against Socialism, because this type of behavior is instigated and you know, it's antagonized by this lawlessness that we see in social media and in the world, and there is no consequences. I mean, you see criminals being lifted up as heroes, and that, you know, I can only imagine is just driving kids who don't have role models in their lives, or guys to just follow in the same footsteps because they just see, well, you know, we are, you know, humans are broken, and when you are struggling, you will go down that path, and if there are no consequences preventing you from doing so, then you would go full speed ahead.
Well, yeah, and this is why, you know, honestly, Sonny, I mean, go off on a whole another tangent here if we want, but this is why gangs, cartels, things like that become as powerful as they are. They're filling a void that's there in the first place. In this case, these young kids will go join a gang because they're not getting what they need elsewhere, either from parents or mentors or whatever. So they go to the gang because they feel like that's the only place they get any kind of recognition at. It becomes their quote-unquote family. The same thing, by the way, happens in cartels and the recruitment of and so on. And it just continues to spiral. And unfortunately, as a country, we're doing nothing to stop this stuff. We're actually, to your point earlier, we're encouraging this. We're making it worse.
Absolutely, 100%, and that is what leads to, like you said, cartels, but also, you know, these severe militias, you know, communist militias that you see in countries where they completely just take over, like in El Salvador, the guerrilla communist fighters. I mean, they were brutal.
Right.
And so that is exactly what we're seeing. And of course, it's in a different context, in a different, you know, circumstance. But that's what it reminds me of. And it's very sad because we are seeing the breakdown of our society. And, you know, you would just never, I mean, you would see, you know, these horrible crimes take place years ago, but there would be, you know, an absolute outrage and uproar. And these people would be charged with crimes, let alone, oh, yeah, they're just going to suspend them in school. I mean, it's really shocking. This is disturbing, and we really need to be taking care of our young people. And I mean, the schools, I don't know if they can be saved. I don't know.
That's a whole other conversation. If they can, it's through organizations like yours, where you're teaching parents and young people exactly what this means. That change, I believe, Sonny, has to happen from within. That's what you guys are doing a great job of, and bringing this awareness. I know you've got curriculum coming in the not too distant future. Talk about that and how folks find you.
Well, you can go to educatefreedom.org. We'd love for you to sign up to be notified when the curriculum is released, so you'll be able to go to our website and download it for free as a resource to you and your family or anybody else you'd like to share it with to help your child understand socialism and the overall societal impact of what this, you know, socialist economic system can do to a country. We're really excited because we feel that this is going to have a huge impact on how young people perceive economics, how they embrace freedom, and how they understand why American economic independence is so valuable, so important to the fabric of our society. Yep. And right now it's in our review stage, so we're sending it to homeschooling networks and families. Nice. And whatnot, that, just to make sure that, you know, we yep. can find best as possible. And awesome. We're just really excited to share it.
Good deal. And Sunny, again, thank you so much for switching things around. I know you got a lot on your plate, which I won't mention on air, but thank you. Thank you. I know there's a lot going on in your world. I appreciate you making time for us today and just giving us your time each week. We are greatly appreciative. So thank you very much.
Of course. It's a pleasure and an honor. And we're grateful to share with your audience. So thank you.
Awesome. Sunny, have a great night. Appreciate it very much.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it. And really quick, you know, before I go to break, Andy sent something in and says, if you tell any group that rage is justified, you unleash savages. Yeah, well said, Andy. Thank you, by the way, for that. Affordable interest mortgage is next. Find out what Kirk can do for you when it comes to a mortgage, rates, the type of mortgage. Are you a first-time buyer? Are you a vet? What's the deal with you? How do you handle that? Give him a call, 720-895-0500.
Are you waiting for rates to go down? Are all of your monthly payments too much? No room for taxes or insurance increases? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Do you have rates in the 3s and 4s on your mortgage? We can help you lower your total monthly payments by $700 to $1,200 a month. Money saved is money earned. 720-895-0500, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Have you purchased a home in the last 2 years? With rates down 1% to 1.5%, start saving hundreds now. Take AIM and let our experience save you money. 720-895-0500. Have you taken out an FHA or VA loan? With rates dropping, they offer a streamlined loan that requires no income verification, no increase in current payoff, no appraisal required, and payments $250 to $400 a month lower. And you may also be able to skip two payments. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. We have been saving homeowners thousands since 2001. It's like giving yourself a raise. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. NMLS 217147, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
Golden Eagle Financial seminar coming up Saturday, by the way. Still time to get registered today with Al Smith from Golden Eagle Financial. Find him at klzradio.com.
You need Al Smith's strategy to help you maximize your retirement savings. Your grandparents' retirement was simpler than yours, and years ago, companies managed pensions for employees, and there wasn't much for the retiree to decide. Things have changed, and now it's much more important for you to use a carefully thought-out market strategy. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial helps you make the right calls at the right time to maximize your retirement in this new reality. Al helps you by minimizing tax liability, protecting against inflation, and using specialized tools to stay prepared. He doesn't just use an investing program and set it and forget it. He learns all about you, your goals, and your needs, and Al develops a customized strategy. Don't be passive about your retirement. Contact Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money to start strategizing today. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Golden Eagle Financial Limited are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents.
All right, Cub Creek Heating and Air Conditioning, find out what they can do for you when it comes to not only saving money, they've got interest, a free interest, zero interest financing as well, whether it be AC, furnace, including repairs, they do all of it. Find them today at klzradio.com.
Cub Creek Heating and AC knows that solving your home's heating and cooling needs can be confusing. The energy industry can be complicated, and Cub Creek will help you navigate through it so you owe as little as possible. Denver is mostly served by a large power company, but many of the towns around it are served by smaller power companies, all with different policies and regulations. The team at Cub Creek understands these regulations so they can best advise you on what will save you the most. They walk customers through the options step by step, always keeping your overall net cost in mind. Most companies say they'll get you the biggest rebate, but sell you the most expensive equipment, so you lose money in the end. And Cub Creek isn't a commission-based company, so there's no chance you'll be upsold. They will give you all the options, and you choose how to proceed. Learn the facts and save money with Ream Pro Partners Cub Creek Heating and AC today by going to klzradio.com/HVAC.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And thank you, by the way, for all of the kind words that you send Sunny's way. I forward a lot of those on to her as well, and she's very appreciative of that. And she's a great lady. We need to encourage young people like her to keep doing what they're doing. We need more of them in this battle that we have going on. And I mean that sincerely. We, our generation, my generation, cannot do this alone. We have to have young people like her doing this, and I mean that sincerely. And they're just great people. We need to keep encouraging them, support them, do whatever you can, young Americans against socialism. And again, we appreciate all that they do and the time that they take being with us on a weekly basis. All right, I've got a couple of different things to talk about here to close things out this day. And it's been a fast show today, but I appreciate all of you listening. And one of those is, and this is a CU study, goes along the lines of what Sunny and I were talking about a moment ago. 2020 police pullback led to more crime. Duh. Well, of course it did. Now, Sunny and I sort of just went through and explained why that is. And despite what a lot of them said with, you know, we want less police, well, I think certain individuals wanted less, but the overarching folks in charge didn't. They want more. They want a police state. One of you texted in and said, yeah, the ultimate goal is to have a police state coast to coast, much like Mexico does. I can't argue that either. I do think that's their ultimate goal as well. They would like to see a federal police force, not National Guard, not military, but a federalized police force. Like when you go to Mexico and you see federales, it's on the side of the trucks, not the local community police, but the federal police. Yes, I believe that's what they want here as well. Not the FBI, not the CIA, you know, not those agencies with a police force, but an actual federalized coast-to-coast police force. Yes, whoever texted that, you are spot on. I cannot disagree with you at all. That's the direction this is headed. And Dan and I used to talk about this a lot. Dan Muir, when he was on with me several years ago, we talked about the militarization of police forces. This idea of having, you know, mini tanks or, you know, the amphibious type vehicles and so on, robots, you know, all of these different things that they have. You know, when the SWAT team pulls up, look at what they roll out in. And I'm not saying we don't need SWAT teams, but I do question at times the gear and what they're using. Now, some would say, well, yeah, but John, they've got to protect themselves. Really? In most cases, it's not as hard as they make it look. And I mean that sincerely, folks. No, I'm not in law enforcement, but you look at some of the things that go on at times, and it's like, okay, really? That's what you had to show up in? I don't think so. It's not the proper role of government, ultimately, folks. That's really where I'm going with this. It's not the proper role of government for your local police department to have a militarized vehicle. Period. And I'll stand on that till I go to the grave. You can argue with me on that one all day long. Even some of you that might be in those police forces, I'll argue that all day long. No, you don't need that. Sorry. No more than a school district needs a police force. Okay? That's what the police departments in that local area are for. A police or a county, you know, public school county, public schools in a county, don't need a police force. And several have them. And no, it's not needed. They don't need their own police cars. They don't need their own, you know, uniformed police officers, guns, the whole nine yards. No, a school district does not need that. Sorry, but not sorry. So, yes, it bothers me when you keep seeing the militarization of police forces literally everywhere. Small town USA, this is happening, and it needs to stop. And by the way, it stops by us citizens getting upset about what they're spending money on. Now, in some cases, they get a grant, or they get this, or they get that, or they get a gift, or some, you know, they've got somebody they know someplace that's able to, you know, pass that off to them. My feeling is on that military equipment, it either needs to be sold off to whoever wants to buy it, not a police department, by the way. And some of you may not like this, but or scrapped. Depends on the technology that's there. If it's technology you don't want going to your competitor, i.e. another country, scrap it. Disassemble it, scrap it, be done with it. Now, typically, by the time we're done with certain military vehicles, there's not much left to it. I get that. But in some cases, we don't even want a foreign adversary having that item. So, no, don't sell it. Scrap it if need be. It's already paid for. We as taxpayers paid for it. Scrap it. But donating it free of charge to a police department? No, I'm against that. Again, that normalizes this entire militarization of police, and that needs to stop. The only way it stops is by those of us listening to complain about it and put a stop to it. And it's happening in our own area, by the way. I've got several people texting in where it's happening in different counties across the metro area right now as we speak. And yes, it needs to stop. So I might talk about that more. Maybe even get some experts on that are more in tune with that than even I. But it doesn't take much to see what's happening inside of our local police departments. Veteran Windows and Doors is next. Windows, doors, they know it all. They'll save you money. They're not like their competition. They'll save you big money. They don't use smoke and mirrors to sell you things. Dave just comes out, has a nice conversation, looks at your home, gives you a price, and then you make the decision as to what you want to do. And Dave will even encourage you to get other bids to see where he's at. That's how much Dave believes in his particular product. Dave at Veteran Windows and Doors. Find him at klzradio.com.
Veteran Windows and Doors believes you are smart to get multiple bids for your windows and doors before you sign any contract. Dave Bancroft, the owner of Veteran Windows and Doors, is confident he will surpass his peers in installation, customer service, and warranties, as well as the fairest prices. Dave hears people complain about the large window and door companies' empty promises with not servicing their needs and lack of knowledge about the products. Veteran Windows and Doors' commitment is to ensure that their customers know exactly what they are buying, from window rating and efficiency levels to real price comparisons, and they always respond to their customers within 24 hours. Wait to sign a contract until you get your final bid from Veteran Windows and Doors, and work with a company that values integrity and stands behind their work and product, guaranteed. Veteran Windows and Doors. Find them at klzradio.com/windows.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Back to Rush to Reason.
All right, that's it for today. Don't forget, National Crawford Roundtable plays next. If you missed any of our first hour with Dr. Scott, which a lot of you, by the way, were texting in, asking questions, you won't hear that again. If you want to hear that first hour or even send that along to somebody else that you might think want to hear it, you've got to go to the website, rushtoreason.com, click on show notes. You'll find that first hour, and then you can actually click the link, copy, paste, send it along. It makes it really easy. Producer Ann does a really great job of making that happen, so you can actually do it that way if you'd like. But again, National Crawford Roundtable plays next. We've got another full show in store for you tomorrow, as always. Dr. Kelly will not be with us, but Steve and I are going to cover a lot of things anyways without her being here. So join us then. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.